ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and anything else our host wants to talk about. Neil Smith is the Vice President of Social Media and Innovation at Denham & Company, lives in Texas, loves the Spurs, and exploring the world with his family. Jay Cranda is the online pastor at Saddleback Church, lives in California, loves the Lakers and drinking black cold brew coffee, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMC Podcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I have a special guest in this episode. It is Dr. Kim Kimberling of Awesome Marriage. Dr. Kim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Neil. It's good to be here.
Well, if you could share with our audience a little bit about who you are and what you do and the ministry you lead with Awesome Marriage.
I've done marriage counseling, Christian marriage counseling for a long time, about 30 years. And just seeing things change, you know, the core problems people deal with are probably all the same, but we've just seen an increase in a number of areas, certainly infidelity, things like that. And so I was working with a group of guys with Church Online when it began at Life Church back early on in 2010. And they called me in and they said, we're seeing so many people that are having marriage problems, asking for prayer. We don't know how to address this. And so we kind of sat and brainstormed and we're thinking, how can we reach people? Obviously, we wanted to use technology. Facebook had probably 500 million at that time. Does that sound about right? Yep. And it was getting a lot of hits about it's ruining marriages. And so we thought, you know what? What if we leverage Facebook and start our platform there of Awesome Marriage? And we did. We created the page that day. Got it out. It grew really quickly. We were trying to get content out just to help people in a number of different ways. Just a lot of things that would be positive for the marriage. Focus on your marriage. Do something each day that's going to make your marriage better. And so over time, that's evolved, and we use any kind of social media that we can. But that's been our way is trying to find people where they are, and they're on social media. And so our whole deal is let's get the message where the people are. Let's reach people that some of them may never really go into a church, maybe never be in a church small group, but a way to get them the message that God has a plan for marriage. It's amazing. And give it a try. That kind of idea.
That's great. So, and as a pastor, I heard many times, especially as I was getting started in online ministry, is that why would you get on Facebook? Because it is ruining marriages. And I heard story after story of, you know, this person meted their, you know, the person they were cheating on their spouse with through Facebook, or they reconnected with somebody from high school. How do you respond to people? Because you basically said, I'm hearing that Facebook is ruining marriages. So let's move this marriage ministry onto Facebook. How do you respond to people that say that Facebook is ruining marriages, or do you think that Facebook is ruining marriages?
You know, probably of the couples that I see, it's interesting, I was writing a blog about this yesterday. Of the couples that I see that come in for infidelity, I would guess that probably 75% of them are there because one of them reconnected with somebody on Facebook, an old boyfriend or girlfriend. So yeah, I think that is there. And I think that's probably pretty true in most places because it's easy to connect with somebody from your past and forget the reason, you know, you're not with them anymore. There was a reason you broke up with this person back there, but the grass can look greener. And so people take that step. I think our deal was, if that's where people are meeting, we also wanted to give a positive thing about marriage in there. We wanted to be a place where people could see, no matter what you're going through in your marriage, that there's healing. And so we designed a lot of our content too, to help people that are going through rough times. It wasn't just, I mean, obviously the ideal is for people to want a good marriage, to want to grow their marriage, to do something that stay positive, but a lot of marriages are in trouble. We know that from the divorce rate, more divorces in the first year of marriage than there ever have been before. And so again, it was just, okay, let's get some positive things up. Maybe it'll catch somebody's eye. Maybe somebody will read a blog, read a post that will encourage them to get some help, to turn things around, to not take that step into an affair. And so, again, it was just trying to, we couldn't find any other way where we could reach that many people. We grew over 100,000 very quickly on our likes on Facebook at a time when that was easier to do. So that's kind of why we stayed there, because that's where people were.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And I love that you're bringing light essentially to a dark place. as you saw that darkness in marriages, you brought light to that place. What advice would you give to pastors who are hearing that question, that are hearing your church shouldn't be on Facebook or social media in general because of the dark side of it? What advice would you give to them, and how can they communicate to their congregants the value of Facebook, or how should they lead that conversation?
Great question. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, Jesus didn't shy away from going anywhere. Yeah. The people he seemed to spend the most time with were the people that the rest of the culture, certainly the church culture, would say were undesirable people. And so I, you know, I'm not sure what a pastor would say that, but I think to know that we want to reach people, it's a great way to connect people. You know, church's Facebook page, like we use it at our church campus, it is amazing that the communication tool it is. The prayer resource of getting people together to pray for something when there's a crisis. There's so many ways to connect people very quickly in Facebook. So I think that's one of the positive things of it. And then if I was a pastor, I'd say, use Facebook in a positive way, but don't be a friend with an old boyfriend or girlfriend. Just do some things with your Facebook that are, just don't go places you don't need to go with it. Yeah. You know, there's no point in me being having a friend that was no boyfriend, or no, not a boyfriend, sorry about that, an old girlfriend. You know, it just wouldn't be. There's just nothing good that can come out of that, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes somebody will connect or just contact me, and I know there's that just catching up, and they'll say, this is what I'm doing, and I'm married, and we've been married, and we have these kids, we have grandkids, and I'll say, great, I'm so glad things are going well for you, I had this, what's going on with me, and then that's it. That's it. You know, no more connection than that.
That's good. So, and as you know, in your time of counseling, and as you counsel couples, you've kind of given out one principle of just don't, there's no need to be friends with an ex. Any other advice points that even pastors can learn from a counseling perspective of sharing passwords, account access, filters, what other advice around social media should couples think of, and pastors maybe coach couples around?
Sure, because you know, all of this is so countercultural. People look at me like I'm crazy sometimes when I say you need to unfriend your old girlfriend. Yeah. Yep. Because you're spending too much time on there. Because culture just says that's okay. So that I think is one of the big things. I think as far as just putting filters, things you know, there's so many ways that we can get ourselves in trouble through the internet. Through social media. And I think we've got to be honest with ourselves. I think a lot of times we take what I would call baby steps. We'll say, well, it really doesn't hurt to do this. And yet every affair that I've seen starts with the first step. And nobody usually really starts out and says, man, I think I'll go out and have an affair today and screw up my life, and screw up my family's life and all that stuff. That just doesn't happen. It starts with that first step. And I like the way Tommy Nelson puts it, and makes it like a tennis game. He said, somebody lobs a ball over, you got a choice. You lob it back or not. And if you lob it back, then you've started to engage and the game begins. Mm-hmm. You never lob it back. You never take that first baby step.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So as you think back on the past, you know, couple of years of Awesome Marriage, is there a story or are there maybe a couple of moments in the time of the ministry that really stand out to you as like, This was really accomplishing the vision that we initially had for the ministry?
You know, one of the things that we did early on that was so successful and something we're reassessing and really going to get back to, and that was prayer. I mean, the first time that we posted something one evening and we said, if we can pray for you, let us know. And the ministry, we'd probably been on Facebook 3 or 4 months when we did that the first time. And so I remember that evening, I thought, well, I'm going to sit down on my computer. And we had some other people that were going to be praying and got on. We had 150 people asking for prayer that night.
Wow.
That was until how late, because we thought we're going to answer one of these things. And so we saw a real need there. And so I think we have a lot of people that continue to contact us and ask for prayer. They ask for guidance. We try to help people when they're in a crisis. Sometimes they have no idea where to go. So we give ideas. You know, we know counselors, Christian counselors in a number of different areas, try to help them connect with a Christian counselor. If they're not in a local church, encourage them to get in one, to talk to their pastor some way so they can begin to have somebody, whatever's going on, walk with them through this and pray for them and be with them and offer some good counsel through that. So I think those kind of things where we really have had people reach out and we've really seen God begin to do a work in those relationships. We do some marriage mentoring online, and we've seen some excellent results with that. But I think overall, it's just the fact that, and the other side is that we have people that say, "You've helped our marriage so much. We were kind of existing together. We were kind of flat, and we got encouraged, and we began doing one thing each day that makes our marriage better." And so it's just that whole thing, I guess, to me, that we're meeting what we want to do, that we're letting people know God has a plan for marriage, whether your marriage is in trouble, whether it's good, whether you're stagnant, or whether you want to just take it to a new level. And we see people come in and are so hungry for that, so hungry for an opportunity, because most people want to do that. I don't think you'd talk to anybody that you'd say, "Do you want an awesome marriage?" Right. Of course everybody would say yes. Okay, but a lot of times they don't know what the first steps are, or they don't take the time to plan those steps or to make that commitment to make that happen. And so I think when we see people begin to do that, that's what we want to happen. That's what I think God called us to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, I think, you know, one of the things that I've loved watching out of Awesome Marriage is that so many, and you're a face-to-face counselor, and so I think you naturally, you know, people see social media as this place to get them into a face-to-face relationship, and you're going to where people are, and you're doing all of that ministry online, and then naturally there are times where you're encouraging people to go to counseling and to get that face-to-face interaction, and I think as humans we need that, but the ministry that is happening online, and it's a global ministry, where people are connecting and being ministered to through social media, and Facebook specifically has been that sweet spot for the ministry. And it's so fun to see tangibly. Do you, I think a lot of ministries are like, well, how does prayer work on the internet? Do you type out prayer, you know, responses in the comments? Do you just say, "I'm praying for you"? How do you tangibly respond, or what have you found to be most effective?
I think depending on probably what the situation is, some people just ask that will you continue to put us on your prayer list? And yes. So we say, absolutely, we will. And so we do that. But we'll private message people and just pray for them, write out a prayer with them, and just really kind of, it's amazing the response we get out that some people will respond. I remember, and they'll say, "Nobody's ever prayed for me before. Nobody's ever prayed for my marriage before." And so you see things like that. So I think the prayer is powerful, I think, no matter how we do that.
Yeah.
And that's something that I want us to begin to really focus on a little more, because I think can be a great part of our ministry.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, I have a tangent I want to go on because I love technology.
Okay.
So in the counseling space, and my mother, you know, this is a psychologist, but she didn't have a clue about technology. She does space, so I can't have these conversations with her. But in the counseling space, I feel like I'm hearing more and more about people doing counseling on the internet, and they'll do like video conferencing like you and I are doing right now. What are you seeing, and do you see this as a viable option, or do you feel like this is maybe an unhealthy direction as far as technology goes when it comes to counseling?
I think that's a really good question. How I'm using it now, I had a family this past year that I was working with. They had a daughter that was in college in another area that really was struggling because of what was going on with her family back home.
Yeah.
And so we began to meet each week online through Zoom for counseling, and it worked great. I mean, I think the good thing about it is that it's face-to-face. You can see what's going on. I can see their facial expressions. I can make examples. And I think it just trained up just to me. Once I get into it, it's just like I'm sitting in a counseling with somebody.
Yep.
I don't think I've started anybody that I hadn't had a contact with before. Most of them, and I've had some people that move and they want to continue counseling, so we'll continue with Zoom. I've had family members that might live in a different state, but they're a part of what's going on in the problem here, so I can counsel them. I love it. I think it works fine. I think the confidentiality can be there. I think most people that are open to that are very comfortable with it. You know, it may seem awkward to somebody at first and they can't figure out how it'll work. But I've just noticed as we get into it, people are seem to be as open, transparent as I see people in the counseling room.
Nice.
So I love it. I think it's a great option.
You think that's only going to expand?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about pastors? Should pastors consider using it, or is that maybe dangerous in the ministry space, or is it pretty much the same across the board?
I think with anything, there's got to be some accountability.
Yeah.
And so I think because things can happen over counseling like this through technology, just like they could in the counseling room. So if I was a pastor, I think it's a great tool to use. I think it allows him to probably be more efficient with his time as he can set up appointments and do people on Zoom. And yet I think there's got to be an accountability. Maybe that is that somebody else on the staff that kind of helps process through that, what's going on here, help them realize if somebody's becoming too attached to them, some things like that. So I think if you're aware of some of the negative things that can happen, I think a pastor could use it very well. You know, I can't really think of any pastor I know that's using it right now, but I think it would be a good tool to use.
Yeah, I agree. It's been fun. You know, you and I have known each other for almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until just a few months ago that we met face to face, but because of Zoom, we had, you know, I felt like we were good friends,
absolutely.
And had very personal, you know, interactions in a face to face standpoint. While we weren't physically face to face, we were seeing each other that we couldn't have had with just a phone call.
It was funny when we connected. I guess we both flown into Dallas and we were at the car rental place, and that's where we kind of connected. And it was like, it's like an old friend. I mean, you know. It wasn't like I was meeting somebody new. It was just all of a sudden we're face to face. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's technology.
And the relationships you can develop that way. I think anything from my heart as a counselor, anything that I can do to connect to people, to help them, you know, Life Church says anything short of sin. That's probably been my philosophy for counseling and for awesome marriage. Anything we can do to help people, we're going to do that.
Yeah, that's great. Well, tell us what, as you look to the future of Awesome Marriage, what do you get excited about? What are you kind of really juiced about as you move forward or think about the next year to 5 years in the ministry?
You know, 6 years ago, someone started, my pastor, senior pastor, asked me, what do you want for Awesome Marriage? And I said, I want a zero divorce rate. Mm. And he looked at me like I was not crazy, but he kind of I said, you know, the way, and I said, I know we probably won't get there, but I feel if we prepare people for marriage right, mm-hmm. if we help people get off to a good start, help them learn God's plan for marriage, they're not going to get divorced. So what I see for the future, continued growth, continued reach, developing new content. We try to stay relevant. If we see an area that people seem to be struggling in, then we're going to develop some content in that where we can reach out to people. We've set up Awesome Marriage University now, and we have, I think, over 30 mini courses on that, which are great tools. Basically, mini courses, there's going to be from 4 to 6 sessions. Each session has a video teaching, short, 3 minutes, some interaction questions. It can be used by individuals, but I love the idea of using it for small groups. And there is a wealth of things in there on different topics, from conflict to romance to sex, all kinds of things that couples can use in a small group setting to continue to grow their marriage, encourage each other, and some things like that. So Awesome Marriage University is something I'm real excited about. We're anxious to see more churches try that and see what that can do. One of the things that I think we're doing now that we just began is we have a daily email goes out called One Thing. Yep. And basically it is Monday through Friday, one thing you can do that's going to make your marriage better. So people, if they want to subscribe at that, they can do that. It's easy. Just go to awesomemarriage.com. There's going to be a pop-up and you just put your email address and every day you'll get something in your email to purposely use for your marriage. And like as a pastor, you can then turn around and use that idea. You can repost that or use that idea. Put it on your Facebook, your Twitter, whatever you want to do with that. And so even on our website, we've got like in all kinds of free stuff, YouTube channel, Awesome Marriage YouTube channel. We've got over 500 free videos there. It means all kinds of topics of marriage. So we have so many resources that we want people to know about that churches and pastors can use to help people. And that's, we want to continue to develop things like that too.
That's great. Well, I want to encourage all of our listeners, just go to awesomemarriage.com and you can get all that information. Make sure you sign up for the One Thing email. Check out, you know, this Dr. Kim's book, Seven Secrets to an Awesome Marriage. It's such a great resource. And there's a, you know, small group curriculum that goes along with it for your church, and an online platform, you know, where you could do an online group very easily as well. And then I also want to highlight the Awesome Marriage podcast that I had the privilege of co-hosting. And you know, just such incredible things you're doing, Dr. Kim. I appreciate the ministry you're leading. And I can't wait to see that divorce rate go down alongside you. And I appreciate even more your friendship. So thanks for taking the time and being on this podcast.
Totally agree with all that. Value your friendship. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the host, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the host. Thanks again for listening.